Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. New beginnings are not just for the young. That regardless of where you are in life, regardless of your circumstances, regardless of your age, new beginnings are not just for the young. That it's for everybody. That the Lord gives us another chance every day that we wake up, to have a new beginning. With every generation, there's a new beginning. So praise the Lord for the new beginnings. I love that song. I love that song. I'm so tempted to sing, but I'm afraid that if I were to sing online, that all these blue lights that are lit up would go out because people would protect their ears. I am Suzanne. I'm Suzanne. And John is going to be with us remotely, so you'll hear from him too. So we're at two different locations, and sometimes we are, but both participating. So you will hear him, but I know that you're used to hearing John welcome you when the program comes on. So praise the Lord. Don't be afraid. Don't adjust. In other words, don't adjust your dial. You are in the right place. This is not the Twilight Zone.
Amen.
Tonight is Wednesday, another Wednesday, August 29th, 2018, and I can't believe that we've been doing a Bible study for so many years. John will have to tell you how many years. I know it's more than six. I'm pretty sure it's more than six. I can't remember how long we've been on Blog Talk Radio, but in saying that, I want to remind you that our radio program is interactive. Yes, it's online. Yes, you can use your telephone and call in and listen, or call in and participate, or you can send me text through the blog site if you want to participate in that way. And I periodically check Facebook as well. But the bonus part of this is that it's recorded, and that we have an archive library of each and every teaching that has taken place on this, using this site. And you can go and listen to previously recorded teachings, which brings me to who we have a special treat this evening, that we have Minister James Gary from Wayne, New Jersey, and he will be ministering to us this evening. He's also been with us early on, and there was one in particular, or two that in particular, that he did that have been reran, and I'm sure you've heard them. If I say the name, you'll know what I'm talking about. If you've ever been in the archive library, you'll find it. It's one that's asked for often, and that's Bitter Roots. And he did a Bitter Roots teaching. It was Bitter Roots Part 1, Part 2. So I encourage you, if you haven't heard Bitter Roots, that you may want to go and listen to that. I also want to say that, you know what, before we start, Minister Gary is on the line with us right now, but John usually does the prayer first, a prayer, because I have a list of folks to pray for. And I also want to encourage you, if there's anyone that you want us to call their name out online, to hear their name online, or to encourage other people to lift them up as well, if you would send us their name, we'll make sure that we read their name off as well. So I just want to take these few minutes. These folks know, you know, it's important that when people ask you to pray, that you actually pray. It's better to pray for them in person right then and there so that they can hear it. But we have to be very careful, because if someone is trusting you with a prayer request, be sure to do it. Be sure to do it. It's very important. And it's important that we say it out loud, that we say it and call out the name, just like when the Lord was creating, he spoke the word. He spoke it. It wasn't him just thinking about it. He spoke it into existence. So right now I just want to lift up, Father God, we praise your name, dear Lord, and we thank you, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for this time, dear Lord, this time of prayer, Father God, and we want to lift up this list of people, Father God. Most of them, Father God, have health and wellness concerns, Father God, but there's others, Father God, that have concerns, Father God, that we know that you know about, dear Lord. So I lift them up right now in the name of Jesus, and I ask you, Father God, to comfort them, Father God, where they need to be comforted, Father God. Allow them healing, Father God, where healing is needed, Father God. And Father God, just speak to their spirits. I speak life to each and every one of these people in their situations. Lord, we just lift up Stuart, Larry, Kenneth, June, WP, Juanita, Matthew, Carrie, James, Patsy, Paula, Nadine, Norman, Dwayne, James, Brenda, James, Keita, Pearl, two nicknames, Trinky and Snooky, Jenny and her husband, Helen, Jerry, Lori, Pastor Hawkins, Lawrence, Pat, Lillian, Juanita, Mary Ann, Roland, and Diana. And we also lift up Claudia in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God, that you heard their names, Father God. You know their concerns, Father God, and their struggles, dear Lord. I ask you, Lord, to put people around them, Father God, to lift them up, Father God, to keep them encouraged. People around them, Father God, to help them with their needs, that all of their needs are met, Father God, their physical needs, Father God, their spiritual needs, Father God, and their financial needs, and Father God, that you would just put people around them, Father God, to keep them shored up, Father God, as they go through this, through whatever they're going through, Father God, that they would be encouraged that they are going through, that this is not the end, that it's not their destination, Father God, it's part of the process. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I am so excited. I want to introduce Minister James Gary again from Wayne, New Jersey. Tonight he will be ministering. The title of his message this evening is Receiving Mercy and Forgiveness. A little bit about Minister Gary. Minister Gary is a member of Calvary Temple International, located in Wayne, New Jersey, where he serves as the director of EFL, and I believe those initials stand for Empowerment, Empowered for Life Ministry.
Equipped
for Life Ministries. And the best part is that he is my cousin. Praise the Lord. Praise So I want to share my family with you. Minister Gary, are you ready?
I am ready. Welcome. Okay. I just want to say welcome to all of the listeners. And thank you for just coming in and being diligent and listening to the Lord's call for you to come tonight. If you're within the distance of my voice, that means you were called and you're here. So you were here just for such a time as this. And we welcome you tonight. And I just want to just open up with a prayer for the listeners, because we know that we all have needs in some form or fashion. And I just want to make sure that we're blessing you so that you can receive the words that the Lord is using me for today. So, Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for every caller that's calling in, every person all over the world, because this ministry touches the world, this radio ministry touches the world. We just thank you today, Lord God, and we ask you to touch every person, Lord, that you will send your Holy Spirit to touch each and every person, that they will be fulfilled through the teaching that you've given me today, Lord God. I ask your words to be my words and my words to be your words, and that you would touch them and that you would just advance your calling in their life. And we ask this in Jesus' name of Nazareth. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, so I'm thrilled to be here. Today's teaching, as you mentioned, is on receiving mercy and forgiveness. And I'm calling in from Calvary Temple, Wayne, New Jersey. And Calvary Temple is an international church, and we are part of the Assemblies of God. And this teaching is part of a series that my wife and I, we run a program called Equipped for Life, which is a three-part study program. It's a Bible study program where we actually teach everyone from new believers all the way up to the advanced studies. Now, this first part is called Equipped for Life, And the second level is called the Barnabas Life Enrichment Studies. And the third part is called WordQuest. And this is a series that my lead pastor, actually he's been promoted, Pastor Tom Kynes, he may even be on the line. And I just want to applaud him for being obedient to the Lord and just listening and putting together this study series that I'm sharing with you guys now. So we thank him for that. The study is a seven-part series, and the way I typically teach it is I teach them in what we call keys. And there are seven keys that you need in order to effectively walk out your walk with Christ, you know, and not only walk it out, but to live it out, and not just speak about Christ, but to know him intimately. And to know him is to love him because he loved you. So the first key is receiving mercy and forgiveness from God. And it's basically a biblical look at salvation. Now, oftentimes, people will come for altar calls. What I notice is that they'll come for altar calls, and they'll kind of fall into the pressure of that altar call and come up. Some truly do give their life at that very moment to Christ. There are others who don't quite get it at that moment. In other words, they repeat what they're saying, but they don't receive it in their heart. And then what we notice is that we're teaching that many of these individuals are really looking for a deeper relationship with God. And for instance, in one of my classes, I asked a person that had gone up for an altar call, and this is a note to all ministers out there, to go deeper than just the surface level and really evangelize to those that are coming up to the altar call. Because there was one individual that actually thought she accepted Christ, but the Holy Spirit used him to ask her, who is Jesus Christ to you? So that's the question I ask you tonight is, who is Jesus Christ to you? And that's a very important question that you have to answer. And if you answer correctly, then we know. Because Jesus tells us to touch the Spirit. So when we ask the question, we know. In this particular case, the response that I received was, oh, he's king of the Jews, or he's God, or he's other things. But the question was not who he is in terms of a personhood. It was, who is he to you? And the perfect answer to that question is, he's my Lord and he's my Savior. So for those who have accepted him as their personal Lord and Savior, this will be enrichment for you. For those that haven't, this will be a very good introduction for you, and we will give you an opportunity during this call to be able to accept him truly into your heart as Lord and Savior.
Amen.
So, amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we start off talking about forgiveness. And the first key verse that I'd like to present to you, before I say key verse, I'll add the key principle. Life principle number one is, forgiveness of my sins has opened the way for me to have a right relationship with God. I'm going to repeat that. Forgiveness of my sins has opened the way for me to have a right relationship with God. And then the key verse is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. And I'm reading from the NIV version. That's what I'll mostly use tonight. And that reads, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Now, grace is important because it's God's grace that enabled Jesus to give that ultimate sacrifice for us, that we could freely accept it. All we have to do is accept it in order to receive it. And his Holy Spirit will actually teach us to not sin and not continue a life of sin. And there will be a change in us because he teaches us that once we're born again and we accept them, we're born again, then we become a new creation. And that new creation, combined with his spirit, empowers us to be able to say no to unrighteousness, to say no to sin, and to walk out the walk with Christ. So the Bible is very clear that without forgiveness, our entire human race, let alone us, the entire human race is under penalty for that sin, for the original sin. But without forgiveness, we remain under that penalty. So, and this forgiveness is something that's freely offered to us to receive. But those that reject it, they still live under that bondage of sin. And this is what today we want to call you out of. So what is sin? Sin is nothing less than what is known as outright rebellion against God. And that is, it goes all the way back to the beginning, to the Garden of Eden, where our pride caused us to resist God and resist his ways. And it also caused us to man our own self-centered ways. And as a result of this, this disobedience, it cut us off from that relationship with God. And it also cut us off from the ability to know him personally. So today, I'd like to actually offer up a scripture to you. In Genesis 6:5, if you could turn to Genesis 6:5. And let me know when you have that. Okay, can you read that for me?
Just a minute.
Genesis 6:5.
Okay, Genesis 6:5. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil at the time, all the time.
All the time. So God was angered due to this this situation that was present here on earth, where he looked across into the hearts of every man, woman, and child that was living, and he saw nothing but rebellion, nothing but wickedness, thoughts of harming others, thoughts of dissent, thoughts of sexual immorality, and most of all, thoughts of other gods in place of the one true God. And we go a step further, and we read Isaiah 59:2, and I'll read that one for you. Isaiah 59:2. I'll give the listeners a chance to turn there. Isaiah 59:2.
Okay.
And it reads, but your iniquity have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. This is an interesting verse because it's not that God is hiding himself from us. It's our sins which are blocking us from him and causing him not to hear us. So this particular verse is very important. It's very important to understand this because the sin blocks us from him, and he cannot hear our prayers. He cannot hear our cries. He cannot hear these things because we always put the sin first. Again, that sin can be sexual immorality. It could be idolatry. It could be all the other things that basically end up hurting us. But most of all, those things hurt us in ways that we see. But we don't see how much damage it does to the relationship that we have with the Father.
Amen.
So it's very important that we consider this.
I'm going to open up the lines and see, because I think this will be a good place for others to join in. Area code 803-973. Those were a couple. if you want to, listeners, if you want to chime in, if you would just, like, indicate it, I can always open up your line. Area code 631-216-423-330. Do you have anything to add or any questions for Minister Gary? Okay.
No, not at this time. It's good,
just,
though.
Thank you.
I just wanted to mention that we can kind of hear there's a some noise in the background. I don't know where it's coming from.
Right.
But there's a noise in the background. If that could be muted or whatever you have in the background, if you could turn it down, because the microphone picks up everything, and I'm getting all kind of text saying that they're hearing background noises.
Like a feedback.
Hmm.
Oh, feedback, yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's clearer now.
Yeah, it is clear now.
Okay.
Awesome. Awesome.
Praise the Lord.
So with that in mind, we move on to the second step that I want to bring you to in order to walk out this walk with a good relationship with Christ. And that is basically talking about sin again. It's sins which people commit. It covers sins which people commit. So the sins which people commit, such as lying, cheating, stealing, hating, that's what we call the evil fruit of a sinful life or fallen nature. And I'll talk more about this in the Bitter Roots part, a study that I mentioned. And basically, if there's good fruit, then the roots are good for that tree or from that person. But if you see the evidence of bad fruit, meaning sexual immorality, things we mentioned about children out of wedlock, constant robbing, stealing, cheating. If you see those things, those are what we call the fruits of a fallen nature. And any person that is submitting to that lifestyle basically is submitting to the flesh. And that nature controls every aspect of that person. And that is the fate of each and every person that is not in a correct relationship with God and with Christ, or through Christ, I should say. And the Bible describes sin as both an action and a lifestyle of rebellion. So it's your actions and your lifestyle which lead to this rebellion. And altogether is what is the ultimate offense that the person is making against God's perfect and holy character. So sin is a rebellion against God's character. See, because God created us in his image. So he did not create us to sin. He created us with choice. And that choice is what we call free will. And honestly, anytime I think about the very beginning when God gave us a choice of choosing the tree of life, choosing, a sin, basically to go against them and be disobedient. Every time I think about these things, I remember that love is a choice. In order for there to be love present, there has to be choice. God did not create us to be robots. He created us to be interactive beings that will worship him freely out of the joy in our heart. Not just from the benefits, but because we know that he loads us up. His word teaches us that he loads us up with benefits daily. But this is not the reason why we worship him. We worship him because of who he is. And also, we know what he's done for us. And we also know that he's the only way out of this mess. He's the only one that can break the chains of sin in our life. And in this ministry, I tell you, I've seen so many broken people. I've seen so many drug addicted people. But the beautiful part of it is I've seen the recovery the miracle of salvation that only the Holy Spirit can do. And that's what drives me to come to you today. And it should drive every minister to continue his work and to continue being obedient to the Lord, because he is good and everything he does is good.
Like that. I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that. And that individual have to be a willing individual. All those miracles that you've seen in your ministry and people getting delivered, they had to be a willing vessel.
Yeah.
Come.
Yeah.
And get that
willing vessel. But there's something that the Lord does.
Uh-huh.
That when he calls a person out of that lifestyle. See, because it takes a broken person, someone that literally has gone to the end of it, of their line sometimes. It doesn't always have to be the case, but in many cases, it takes them to get to the end of themselves and see that there's no other way out. And if something doesn't change, that they will lose their life in many cases.
Mm-hmm.
And that broken person, believe it or not, the anointing that God puts on that person when they fully come into agreement with him is just amazing. And all of those broken roads, all of those things become that person's ministry. Because once those things which you overcome, you gain authority over.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, if a person is addicted to alcohol and overcomes that, there's something called street credibility, if you will, that person gets. But in the spiritual realm, they get a certain level of credibility.
That's
See,
right.
This is what Paul teaches about being a Pharisee of Pharisees. He talks so much about the things that he did in his weakness, and he boasts more about those than even the things that he did well.
Mm-hmm.
He was Pharisees of Pharisees. He could speak Greek. He could speak all these different languages. He could do so many things, but he boasted more about the things that were his weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the things that we springboard from to enter into our ministry and our relationship with the Lord. So he can cause us to overcome these things.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone is sinful apart from faith in Jesus. And no one, even in on their best behavior, can please God. Even on their best efforts. So I'd like for someone to just turn for a moment to Matthew chapter 7, verses 17 and 18. And if someone else can grab Romans 3, chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, and also verse 23. And when you find it, the first person that finds it, if you're on the line is open, feel free to read it, starting with Matthew 7, 17 through 18.
What was the other one? Romans what, sir?
And Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 11, and also verse 23.
Okay, I have Matthew 7:17 to 18.
Awesome.
Okay. Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit.
Amen. So just as I spoke, there it is in black and white for you, the word of God, to tell you that it is impossible for a good tree to bear bad fruit. There had to be something that was not surrendered to the Lord if you're seeing bad fruit. And that part we have to convince, especially new believers. But it can also be, and this is something else that I found in doing this, in presenting this teaching, is that there sometimes are people that have been in the church for 15, 20 years that don't know these keys and these principles. So it's very important that we share these keys with the fellow believers as well, because they may have parts in them that have not been surrendered, or keys, parts that are not quite clear to them that they may need to get clear, set free from. And one of those things, like I said, was those roots. Okay, does someone have Romans?
Here's Romans 10, and 11, and I'll be reading from the New Living Translation.
Mm-hmm.
Let me get back to it. Okay, hold on just a second. I lost it here. Okay, Romans 10 says, as the scripture says, say, no one is righteous, not even one. In verse 11, no one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. And then the 23rd verse, it reads, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard.
Amen. Amen. And this is the truth in it, is that that none. You know, it makes me think back to what they call Judaizers. They would, you know, sacrifice bulls and lambs and different things, and they had to do that every single year. At those festivals, because they did not have the ultimate sacrifice. And that ultimate sacrifice was the Lord Jesus, who offered one sacrifice, his body and his blood, for us all to receive, to have the ability to receive salvation. So no longer are bulls and sheep and goats and all those other things that people sacrifice. You know, because see, the Lord tells us that He desires obedience more than sacrifice.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You see, obedience more than sacrifice. So, Jesus, through His obedience, gave the ultimate sacrifice, and that sacrifice is what we walk through today. And this is how we get closer to the Lord, by walking through that sacrifice, that ultimate sacrifice for our own, which is done for our own salvation. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so that leads us to our third topic, which is the plan of salvation. So there's a plan. See, Jeremiah 29:11, the Lord tells us that He knows the plans that He has for us. Plans to prosper us, plans to not to harm us, plans to give us a hope in the future. All these things were planned out. Even our very salvation, most don't know that our very salvation was planned out. See, God knows all things, He sees all things, and He knew that we would need that plan of salvation. So even through God, even though God is the one who has been rejected, now, for those that who have ever had their hearts broken, I'm speaking to you right now. If you ever had a relationship, been cheated on, been left for dead, you know, even, or even just, how can I say, betrayed. You know how hard it is to forgive that person that has done that wrong to you.
Yes.
But God, how much greater is He? Just think about it for a moment. That God was the one who was rejected and hated by humanity. Yet He chose to forgive us.
I like that. He chose to forgive us. Yes.
He chose.
Amen.
Yes, I like that. Mhm.
And see, we were created in His image, so we are given that choice.
Mhm.
To forgive those who have harmed us as well.
Yes.
Now, here's the important thing to note, is that forgiveness, it never comes without a cost.
Mm-hmm.
It costs something. Every sin, and this is because every sin is a crime against God, and it,
mm-hmm.
and therefore it demands a penalty. It demands a penalty.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible describes the plan of salvation in this way. It says that God the Father, He sent His Son into this world to take our punishment.
Mm-hmm.
And after living a sinless life, notice this, it was after living a sinless life that Jesus allowed Himself to die a cruel death on the cross. Because He knew that in dying for us, He would take the place, He would take our place and providing an acceptable sacrifice before His Father, our God.
Mm-hmm. where we would have died. Yeah.
Exactly. So the penalty, which every person deserves, rightfully deserves, mm-hmm. has been paid for by Jesus. Will you worship him? Will you serve him? Because he lives.
Yes.
See, after his death, his resurrection provided and provided proof for us that his mission was successful and powerful. Again, I ask, will you worship him? Will you serve him? Because he lives. I'm going to read John 3:16-17. And it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." That's John 3:16-17 from NIV. Can someone read Acts 2:22-24? Acts chapter 2, verses 22 through 24.
At what?
Chapter 2, verses 22-24.
Okay. This again is this is coming from the King James. 22-24, and it reads, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourself also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." That's Acts 2, verses 22-24.
Amen. Amen. So without the sacrifice that Jesus made for us all, we had no way. There was no way. The only way was destruction of the world. And God loved the world, as we saw in John 3:16. He loved the world. And his love for the world, as well as his love for us and his creation, is what caused him to relent. But his relenting did not come without a penalty. And that penalty was Jesus being crucified for our sins. And those sins require blood, and that blood sacrifice was the blood, shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So does anyone have any questions so far? And also, I just wanted to welcome any other callers that may have just joined us. We're covering today basically a course called Equipped for Life. It's a course that covers 7 keys to get to a biblical walk with Christ. And it's today we're covering receiving mercy and forgiveness from God, a biblical look at salvation. So thank you for coming. If you are on, feel free to chime in as well.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I like how God, because of his love for us, he sent his Son this time, the second time around. Because remember the first time, they were so wicked, the world was so wicked that he wiped them out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Noah built the ark, and he wiped them out. But he said next time, he won't do that. He won't destroy mankind like that again. So he sent his Son just
yes.
to rescue us.
Just
he was our life preserver. He was
yeah.
our life preserver to come
yes.
and rescue us, so he
Amen.
Wouldn't have to go into that area where he's like shaking his head, saying, "My people are falling again." They've fallen away from me, fallen from grace. Let me send my son. And his son said, I'll go, Dad. I'll go.
But so let me ask you a question.
Those knuckleheads.
Let me ask you a question. Did you know that Noah's Ark is one of those, what we call, types and shadows of things to come? See,
yeah.
the ark was for Noah and his people. Jesus is for us.
Yes.
And all of his people.
Yes, yes. Sounds good.
So Jesus is that ark of the covenant that is there for us. So he calls into deep right now. I'm calling on the deep people here that are with us. So it's a type of salvation that Jesus was going to do. That it basically spoke of what Jesus was going to do just through that act. Amen?
Amen, amen.
Amen. Amen.
And the generations came through Noah, too.
Yes, and see, even now, and one thing that God did for us in that story of the ark is, as a reminder unto himself, he gave us the rainbow.
Yes, yes.
So anytime, like now, we're seeing a lot of wildfires, we're seeing a lot of flooding, mostly flooding all over the world. I mean, places that it was unheard of to see these types of things. So we know that we're in the last days. We're in the very last days. So we're calling on the people that don't know the Lord, to come, taste and see that he's good. Before, just as that door to the ark closed and all those people, as the floodwaters rose, they banged on the ark trying to come in. And the same way, the ark door, Jesus has that door open for us. To come now, before it's too late. All the birth pains. We see all these things happen. These are the rainwaters. These are the floodwaters. Literally, the floodwaters.
Mm-hmm.
God is pouring out to say, come. Come through the narrow gate. Come now, because I'm offering you salvation.
Yes, that's
Turn
good.
Away from that life and come into the ark, the way and the truth and the life. Who is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen?
That's good. Amen. That's good. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. So now we move on to the next topic, which I'd like to first ask again, are there any other questions? Any other questions or comments?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, amen, amen. So we're going to move on to the gift of forgiveness. See, forgiveness is a gift to us that the Lord gave us. When he gave his life, he was giving us the ultimate act of forgiveness. The ultimate act of forgiveness so that our sins would be covered by his blood, and that when the Lord... when his father saw us, when God the Father sees us, he sees us through that picture of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So he sees us not only sees us, but he doesn't treat us as our sins deserve, but he sees us the way that he sees his son. That same love that he has for Jesus Christ, he has for us.
Amen.
So forgiveness of sins is a gift, and that comes from God to all who put their faith in his son. So it does have a requirement. That forgiveness has a requirement. And that requirement is faith in his son. And we're not talking about blind faith. We're talking about, listen, you can look up Aristotle. You can look up all the Greek scholars and all those different people and not find the wealth of information and proof that Jesus is who he said he was and did what he said he did. And have historical evidence, and as well as the divine book, which we call the Bible, which Old Testament spoke of what he was going to do, types and shadows, and the New Testament is what he actually did to fulfill every single one of those prophecies that were given.
Amen.
But the important thing is we must have real faith, which means putting our full trust in who Jesus Christ is and what he's done for us. And along with that faith, God requires that we also repent.
Mm-hmm.
And all repentance means is turning away, changing direction, changing course, turning away from the life of sin that we led. And basically, when God says don't sin, He's not saying don't have a good time. He's not asking us not to enjoy life. He's saying son. He's also saying daughter. Don't hurt yourself. Doing that will cause harm to you. And sometimes not only to you, but to the third, second, third, and fourth generation.
Right. That's good.
See, because those curses from those bad activities go on maybe the second, third, and maybe even some remnants in the fourth generation. But see, the blessings of God, see, the curses of God goes on for those generations too, second, third, and maybe even fourth. But the blessings of God go on for 1,000 generations.
Future.
Think of future generations.
Right, the future.
So, I mean, I want you to get this in perspective. Think about the light bulb.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any of us had anything, I know for a fact, none of us had anything to do with the development of electricity and the light bulb. But yet, we get to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a blessing. That is a gift from God. You know, these are downloads. Einstein spoke much about all the downloads that he received on how he even came up with the equation E equals MC squared and how it was divine interpolation, the divine receipt to be able to receive these things. So it's very important to just take note of those things that we had nothing to do with that are good and help us to live out our lives. The machines, the equipment, all the different advances in technology that we had absolutely nothing to do with it. They go on for generations and generations. Those are as the blessings of God. So we must remember that. So if we turn, we break those curses and we come into a relationship in the right way with the Lord.
Amen.
But also in repenting, you know, we're saying, Lord, God, I agree with you. Sin is harmful for me. Sin is something that is unbearable and is not good for me nor the generations in my family. So sometimes we have to personalize it and say it's not good for my family even, for me or my family. And God, I can't say this enough. God does want to forgive every single person of his or her sin. However, the Bible is clear. Only those who believe in Jesus and repent from their sins can receive the gift and come to know forgiveness. And with that, I'm going to read Acts from the book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 19. And that reads, repent, then, and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Acts 3:19. See, not only are our sins washed away, but the reason why it's important to repent and turn away is that also so that what God calls times of refreshing. You know, I don't know if anyone here exercises or ever ran a marathon in their life or ever competed in any sport in any kind of way, or even jump rope for hours and hours with their girlfriend. But if you've ever done anything like that, at the end of that exercise or that thing that you were doing, once you get a cold drink of water or just take that shower, there's like a refreshing that comes over you that just it restores your strength. And it causes you to relax. And that's what the Lord our God does for us when we turn and repent.
Amen.
Okay, can someone read for me? Turn to Romans chapter 5 and read verse 1. Someone else can grab from that same chapter, actually from chapter 6, verse 23. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. And if anyone else is available, I'll read Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 10.
Well, we know what 6 and 23 is.
Okay, you said Romans 5:1?
5:1, yes.
Okay, this again is the New International. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. I know you, I should have stopped. I'm sorry.
Amen. Amen. No, that is a promise right there that is hidden for us, not from us. It says, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God. What a wonderful thing it is, and it must be for each and every one of us to have peace with the living God, the God that created all of the universe and everything that's in it. How amazing is that, to receive the peace and have peace with God?
Amen.
See, when you have peace with God, your prayers, they're answered ever so swiftly. When you have peace with God, He is the King and the head of heaven's army. He will dispatch His angels in your favor on a moment's notice. See, when you have peace with God, you have the ability, you have the ear of God, you have the sight of God. His face is upon you. As He searches the earth for one who is righteous, He sees you through His Son, through the act of His Son, and you have peace with God. This is the beauty that our God offers to us.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Does someone have Romans 6:23?
Yeah, it says 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Amen, amen. So I just want to break that down for a moment for you.
Yeah.
So the wages of sin, every sin that is committed has a wage.
Mm-hmm.
See, every God demands a sacrifice. So whatever the God of that sin that you're committing, the God of that sin is going to demand a wage. It's going to demand a sacrifice. And that sacrifice ultimately leads to the death. I say death of relationships, death of people in extreme cases. Every one of those sins leads to the death of something. It could be the death of your own mindset.
You know, I like that. This is very good.
But there's another promise that's hidden for us. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Another promise. So we have promise number one, which is we have peace with God. And number two, we have eternal life in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And all is a choice. And all is a choice.
A choice.
All a choice. Yeah.
Love is a choice. Mm-hmm. And God is love. Okay, can someone read?
Very good.
Oh, I'll read it. I thought I was going to read it. It says Romans chapter 10, verse 8 through 10 says, but what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Amen.
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 And that's a perfect place for us to stop. Our program will be ending very shortly. Quickly, Minister Gary, could you say a final word to us? We have about 40 seconds.
Okay, so I'll just pray for everyone here. Father God, we just ask that, Lord God, that your word will be sealed in the hearts of every listener, every person that will come later, that your word will be sealed in their hearts, oh Lord God. Father, we ask you right now, and I just invoke your name unto all your people. And I say, Yahweh, bless us. Yahweh, keep us. Yahweh, cause your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. Yahweh, lift up your countenance upon us and grant us peace. And we say amen to that.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. So we look forward to sharing key number two with you. We have a couple more points here and some words to remember that we'll cover during our next session. But we want you to pray over this. and pray over your families and those that may be lost, those that may be sick, because this is something that is a gift from God. Your salvation is a gift. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you all for joining us. We appreciate your commitment to this ministry. Thank you again, Minister Gary. And we look forward to hearing from all of you next Wednesday. Next Wednesday. Amen and amen. Have a good evening, everyone.
So hard to understand how a life that I had planned stole my joy and left me far behind. Though all I have is lost, it seems.